The armies of the night are coming today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I'm Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today, we bring to you, our lovely audience, our F movie. F standing for Fright Night, and we ain't talking about the new one.
That's right, we're talking about the 1985 classic.
That's right. I like the newer one. For what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the original.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to give the spoiler of our rating, but come on. This yeah. is such a classic.
Yeah. As we did in the Blob episode.
Right.
I will say that there was another tape, Autumn.
Huh?
There was another VHS tape that we had in my house that had some movies that we would watch on the regular.
Yes.
And that was Fright Night was on that tape. And I think that tape had, it was Fright Night and then like various Halloween specials.
Aw, yeah.
So yeah, because it wasn't just increasingly more adult horror films
yeah.
like the Blob tape. But this one was a little bit more safe.
Yeah.
It only has a little bit of nudity in it. For the most part, it's kind of family friendly
yeah.
for horror films.
I would say this is a good introductory
yeah.
To horror stuff.
Yeah. I think this is dialing up just a little bit more. Like,
yeah. This is for like your preteens,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah. Like, I think a good double feature would be this. And I'm going to throw it all the way back to year one when we talked about Hell Night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do a double feature of this for like a spooky sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Like, I think, this one is, it just has a little more adult.
Yeah, this is for, you know, when it gets to 10 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, the parents have gone to bed. Yeah, running at an hour and 47 minutes, this is, we're talking about 80s horror royalty here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a
Straight
movie
up.
That a lot of people often will talk about. If you get some millennials in a room together that
yeah.
like horror, this will be one that gets listed as being a formative mm-hmm. Film.
Yeah, because I feel like all of our parents just had this on repeat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We watched this movie a lot in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a couple of ideas why.
I do, too, on my end. Yeah,
yeah. Why my mom might have put this one on a little bit more than some of the others. This movie, it checks all the boxes for overall look and feel for
mm-hmm.
that ooky spooky 80s horror. You know, it's like this and Monster Squad,
yeah.
where it really leans into, if you love Halloween and you love just like, you know, just that spooky feeling,
uh-huh.
this movie encapsulates it.
Yeah.
Even in the opening, it starts off with Wolf Howl, Fright Night, and our main character watching
mm-hmm.
an old horror film.
Yeah. You love to see this kind of stuff in like the early 80s
yeah.
horror films because you're like, aha, another horror nerd just like me.
Yeah, it's like I'm in the movie. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely that where you get to identify with the character just a little bit.
Yeah.
And Charlie, our main character, it's him and his girlfriend, Amy. They're smooching.
I mean, what else would be better to smooch to besides a nice horror movie,
yeah.
you know?
She doesn't want to go too far.
Yeah.
And Charlie's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
But then he gets wrapped up in the Peter Vincent Fright Night show. Like he's a true blue horror fan where she's sitting there on the bed going, Charlie, I'm ready. And he's also distracted by the fact that there's something weird going on at the old neighbor's place.
Yeah, for some reason there's people moving stuff around at night.
Yeah.
And they're moving around a coffin.
Oh, what? My God. All of his dreams are coming true.
This is so that time period, though, yeah, where kid or teen sees something weird at the neighbor's house. And yeah, what's going on? Oh, something spooky's happening.
Another good double feature.
Uh-huh.
And I think has the same feel,
right,
as this movie. The Burbs.
I was going to say The Burbs, yeah, yes.
Like, this is also very much The Burbs. I guess you can go with, like, was it Rear Window?
Or, yeah,
you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and then End the Night on Elvira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Because she's the weirdest neighbor.
That's right. Yeah, it's from the other point of view.
Yes.
But yeah, this is such a fun opening to it. Amy gets mad at Charlie because of his flights of fancy into horror and how he just, like, they were hot and heavy, and now he doesn't give two shits that she's like, come and get it.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a lover spat, as Charlie's mom puts it. He's still very distracted by the fact that he just saw people moving a coffin into the neighbor's house. And mom's just like, oh, well, yeah, no, there's a new neighbor and news that he's a very handsome man.
Oh, ooh, la la.
There's this really quick scene of Charlie going, I guess it showed that he's a normal kid. Like, he mm-hmm. goes to school. Some school stuff happens. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care about that. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I really feel like sometimes we don't need to see. We can fill in the blanks that he's a kid in school.
Yeah. You know what they could have done instead is they could have just shown him getting ready in the morning going, oh, I can't wait to get home. It's nighttime.
It's nighttime, folks.
But he gets home from school and he sees a very attractive lady going to the neighbor's house. And he goes into his room to study. And then the nighttime comes and there's a scream. Scream. Let me take a moment to kind of criticize a classic. I'll be the bad guy real quick.
That's okay.
Because
it's
the fact,
not a perfect movie.
I think that it's a little clunky in the setup.
Oh,
I think this is one of those movies where they knew what they wanted. They
had the vision.
They had the vision for him dealing with his neighbor that's a vampire. Like, they had that figured out.
Right.
Like,
right.
Dead to rights. Like, they knew all that. Well, they didn't
know. But
how
do we lead up to that?
Yeah, they had no idea how to write the normal, the blah 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 nonsense,
yeah,
of his day-to-day life and even his relationship with Amy, because mm-hmm. we have the clunky scene next of him eating with Amy and apologizing to her. We are also introduced to Evil Ed, as they call him.
Yes.
And we learned that there was a lady that was murdered, mm-hmm. and my goodness, that seems to be the lady that was at the neighbor's house the night before. Holy shit.
Yeah, they keep sprinkling in too, like, the news on TV is talking about these string of murders happening, yeah, and whatnot. So, oh no, another one.
Let's talk about Evil Ed.
Okay.
Let's pull apart.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Because all these 80s movies have this. They have that friend, and I mm-hmm. use that term loosely. I don't think Charlie and Ed are friends.
Yeah, I don't know if Ed has any actual friends.
How could he? He is the most irritating, grinding person. He is so incredibly annoying. And it sucks because of the fact that he's supposed to be like, geez Louise. All right, so we have this Ed thing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And he's a pain in the ass. He's also a horror enthusiast.
Yeah. But he's like the other kind of horror enthusiast where it's not normal. It's more like, he's probably watching for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the type. You know,
I think he made up the nickname Evil Ed for himself. Okay, I'll put it that way.
But he ends up acting like that, like, because later on he tells them that they're not, they can't call him evil Ed,
yeah,
because it's like he's being picked on for that. What is it, Ed?
What is it, Ed?
What is it?
Do you want to be evil or not?
And, you know, I'll tell you what, if you don't want to be treated like an asshole, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Stop being the worst person. yeah, like, I don't get it. But also, you know what? No, I'll save that side of my complaint for later on, because I have a real big complaint about Charlie's character, but I'll get to him.
Okay, I'm interested to hear that.
Yeah, when the time comes.
I will say Ed just gets worse from here on out.
Oh, and man...
Yep, towards the end, it's especially bad.
Jeez Louise. He's a real pain in the neck. Amy, amongst all this, let's get back to the movie, folks. Amy gets mad at Charlie again because of the fact that now he's distracted by the news about the missing girl.
Yeah, and Ed's just too annoying to be around, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie's been freaking out about his neighbors, and now that he's heard the news about... this potential murder victim, he's like, I'm gonna go investigate. I'm gonna go see what's up. What's going on with this house? So he tries to sneak in, which is another thing these movies like to do.
Yeah.
The teens sneaking into the creepy house.
Do you think someone snuck into our house?
I know.
Because, like, we're the creepy neighbors.
Is this normal?
Like, we don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, and we got the creepy witch house.
And we're always carrying, body-shaped garbage bags
yes.
into the backyard.
Huh.
Are we the creepy house?
I think we're the creepy house. We must have had teenagers in our house before going, oh, my God, look, they're vampires.
That explains where all my galaxy gas has gone.
James!
Topical.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, he doesn't get very far because there is a handyman working on the house.
Yeah.
And he's caught.
Yeah.
But he does end up watching the house all night.
Yeah. And he gets an eyeful.
He sure does.
Something that I don't think he was quite expecting.
I don't think he was needing or wanting to see that.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, he is a teenage boy.
Okay,
so
maybe he
did. I think
he
was needing and wanting to see, but he didn't need or want to see what happened next. Because he didn't expect his neighbor to be a Dracula.
Yeah, essentially, folks, he does see his neighbor bite a lady while they're making love.
Yeah, that's right.
Is
yeah.
the best way I'll put it.
Yeah, Charlie also... very clearly has been spotted by his neighbor.
Yeah, he, like, makes eye contact with him as he, like, pulls the blinds get down.
Yeah. Charlie locks all the shit down. It's just like, oh, my God, we're screwed. And
he even sees, though, the neighbor drop or dump the body in the car.
Yes.
Like, he watches this full thing play out.
Yeah. And gets caught again.
And the creepy neighbor doesn't immediately go to his house and go, hey, what all you see, buddy?
Right. Well, he's got time. Charlie tries to explain to his mom, like, what he has seen. And he's like, oh, you know, this girl went missing. I saw her the day before. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that a body went into a car and all that stuff. And as he's explaining this, it transitions to him explaining to Amy, even. Mm-hmm. It's cool transition.
Yeah, I love that transition shot so much. They don't really do anything quite like that again in the film, so it does feel a little out of place. I wish that they had kind of played on that a few more times, because I really appreciate this moment, because it's really nice to see I need to explain to multiple people.
Yes.
And we're going to do it all at one time, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of us as the audience getting to see him
explain
it to everybody. Yeah.
Charlie ends up going, having a police officer go to his neighbor's house. And it goes about as good as you expect it. In any of these kinds of movies, the kid always looks like a ding dong. And the people laugh at him ultimately, because he's trying to explain that the missing woman was here, and that there's a coffin in the basement because my neighbor is a vampire, and it's just like, okay, get the fuck out of here, Ken.
Yeah, they literally tell him, don't contact us again. This is silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, whoops. Charlie, in a panic, he's a desperate man. So desperate times come for desperate measures. He goes to the only other vampire professional that he knows, and that is his friend, Evil Ed, for advice on what to do about having a vampire neighbor. Aha, here comes my complaint on him.
Uh-huh.
Charlie watches Fright Night,
right.
I assume religiously.
Right.
Charlie is a horror fan. He's seen all these Hammer horror knockoff vampire movies with Peter Vincent. Motherfucker doesn't know about garlic. He doesn't know about crucifixes.
Cross,
he doesn't know
holy water.
He doesn't know any
nothing?
Of that shit. And he doesn't catch on top of all this. Like, let's say he did, and he was going to Evil Ed as if Ed knew the real world stuff to fight off vampires, because all that stuff's kid stuff in the movies, right? It's not real.
Right.
But vampires are obviously real, so there must be a real way to fight them. When Evil Ed is very clearly tongue-in-cheek, making fun of Charlie to his face, going, oh, you know what you need next? You need to have a cross, and then you have to have holy water!
Hey, but the shitty thing is, though, he gives them all this advice for $8.
Yes. $8 for something that you can read on the back of a cereal box.
Yeah.
You can pick up a box of Count Chocula. I guarantee it tells you how to take care of vampires.
$8 in the 80s to a kid?
Might as well have been $80.
My God. It might as well have been $800.
It might as well have been $8 million. I will go no higher. Sold to the tired man in the corner of the booth.
Evil Ed does leave him with one last bit of advice, and he says, do not invite that man into your house. They cannot come into your house unless you invite them in.
Well, guess what happens, little ghoulies? Charlie comes home, and his ding-dang mom invited the neighbor into the house because he's so fucking handsome.
Yeah, and boy, does the movie know it, because the way that they introduce him, we finally get to see him in his full form by the cameraman dragging the camera across his body all the way up into the chair where he's sitting, and you see his beautiful face finally revealed. And as the audience, you're like, yowza, woo, 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 yeah, woo.
I let him throw my body in the back of a car.
I'd invite him into my house, sure. Yeah, woo.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're finally introduced to the neighbor, and, you know, vampires, they usually have a cool name.
Yeah.
You know, Dracula, Nosferatu, Jerry. Jerry is what we decided to name this vampire.
Yeah.
The smoking hot vampire.
Okay. I think that had to have been a conscious decision, because if they gave him a sexy name, they would the celluloid itself in the cameras would catch a flame, because yes, this guy is oozing with the riz.
He literally is. Yes.
Like, I mean, come on, what the hell? With his fucking with his scarf wearing ass.
He is like way too charming.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder everybody's falling for it.
Mm-hmm. Later that night, Charlie ends up waking up to a branch squeaking on his window. And he's like, oh, gee, oh, God. Oh, he thinks something scary is happening, but it's just a branch. It's okay. But it's too late, Charlie. The monster's already in the house.
Yep. Jerry's been invited in once, so he can come in anytime now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry ends up closing Charlie's mom's bedroom door, jamming that bitch shut. And then now it's the showdown between Charlie and Jerry. Now, Jerry gives Charlie the opportunity to call it a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, you forget about everything that you've seen. You stay out of my shit, and I won't have to kill you and your mom. Sounds like a pretty solid deal.
Yeah.
But then Charlie pulls the old cross on him. And that's when Jerry's just like, well, it's a fucking shame. I'm going to have to kill you now.
Yep. Yeah. I love the way that he delivers the threat.
Yeah.
To Charlie. It's just so, like, matter of fact.
Yeah. And so then he starts to hang Charlie out the window. I can't believe how much I'm going to kind of poke at this movie, because I genuinely love this movie.
I said it's not a perfect film.
It's not a perfect
film.
It's
just fun. But, it's a good movie.
But Jerry is a fucking vampire. And he's doing this, like, I'm going to slowly dangle you out. Was he going to drop him out the window? What was his plan here?
Maybe.
Was he going to shake him up?
He was trying to scare him, I think.
Blood tastes better when your victims are frightened. I get
that. That's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, this gives Charlie just enough time to feel around and grab the perfect weapon to fight off a vampire. A number two pencil.
Yes, yes.
He stabs Jerry in the hand. Jerry gets real ugly real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does he get hotter?
I was going to say, I think he gets hotter as he's becoming more and more vampire.
Charlie's mom manages to get out of her bedroom, and Jerry's just like, "Ooh, I'll get you later, you little bitch." And then zoops off. What's it matter?
Yeah,
why
right?
Why didn't Jerry just go, "You little bastard, you stabbed me in the hand." Crack. And then, let me pull your heart out, you know?
Yeah, he should have been like, "Ooh, I get dinner and a dessert, you know?
Right? Like... Yeah, this should have been easy. How long has he been a vampire? I don't think he's particularly...
Well, his name is Jerry. How long do you think he's been a vampire, James?
2 weeks?
Right, right.
Like, it was probably like the week before he moved to the town.
He's like, "Oh no, I'm a vampire now. Gotta move towns."
Well, that, maybe that's the thing. Maybe the fact is that Jerry was in Sheboygan,
Nantucket.
He was like a muffler repairman. He gets bit by a vampire.
Oh man!
He kills everybody he knows. On accident.
Oh, see, I thought it was like an immediate, like, "Oh, crap, I'm a vampire now. Gotta move."
No, he's got to skip town because of the fact he accidentally killed everybody.
Okay.
With his first blood rage. He brings Billy with him, his handyman boyfriend.
Yes.
And it's just like, "Hey, you want to move to this sleepy little burg? I think we can start over." And Billy's just like, "Yeah, okay. And I'll be a ghoul for you, baby." And then they move. And then this little bastard Charlie comes along stabbing people in hands with pencils.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry doesn't know what to do about it because he doesn't know how to be a vampire.
He should have just, as you said, snapped his little neck and went on.
It's easy.
Had the dinners.
Moved to the next town.
Moved
he hasn't even unpacked
town.
Yet.
No, just put it all back in the van.
Billy will be disappointed, but he'll get over it.
Yeah, don't you get a, like, vampire fund when you become a vampire? So, like...
Yeah, is there, like,
you can just move.
Is there, like, a United Vampires Trust Bank?
Right.
Take out a vampire loan?
Right.
What's the overhead on this mortgage? Charlie, after this traumatizing experience, does what anybody would do, and that's just... turn on the TV and disappear into watching a good old-fashioned Hammer horror film. Hey, it's not a knockoff this time. So while Charlie's sitting there, the mom's just like, you know, "What's going on?" "Oh, nothing, you know, just, you know, you had a bad dream or what have you."
Uh-huh.
And then there's this loud sound outside. She goes, "Oh my God, what's that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's raccoons." She goes, "Okay, I'm going back to bed." He gets a phone call. It's Jerry. He's like, "Listen here, you little bastard. I fucked your ride. And I'm going to come and fuck you."
No, he did not. He did not say that. But I will say, I remember the first time I watched this movie, I legit thought that Jerry was going to be like doing all these like funny vampire pranks on this kid.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that that's how it played out.
I agree. When I was watching this for the millionth time now, it never occurred to me that that's what this movie could have been.
Yeah, because that's funny.
It's super funny.
That was legit funny. Like,
I love how petty Jerry is. This is also,
he's such a queen.
I think this is proving the point that he's not a long-term vampire.
No.
Because, like, an amateur would do that. Like, yeah. An amateur would be like, well, I'll show you. I'm going to take a dump on your flowers. And I only drink blood, so that's going to be a nasty shit. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit just because of the fact that, what's the deal with that?
What?
What's the deal with that? Because I just said that he only drinks blood. It's going to be nasty shit. But we see Jerry constantly eating fruit. What the hell's going on?
Maybe he just likes a little sweet.
Maybe he's a fruit bat.
Oh, that's so cute. That makes him even cuter.
Oh, damn. There's nothing you can do to make that man unattractive. Charlie ends up getting the idea to meet with Peter Vincent since, you know, that is the ultimate vampire hunter.
Yeah, I still say, though, Charlie, like, come on, Charlie.
Charlie's kind of an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's nice to get an adult to, you know, do the fighting for you, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
But well, no, he's just asking for more advice, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you help?
He goes to the TV studio where Peter Vincent films his show. And unfortunately, the show's been canceled. And Charlie's just like, I need your help. And Peter Vincent's like, oh, yes, you need my autograph. Oh, oh, oh. He's like, no. I need you to kill this vampire that lives next door. It's this horrible thing. And Peter Vincent's like, listen, buddy. Pat on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Vampires aren't real. I'm in movies. And my life is over because my show got canceled. So if you don't mind, I'm going to find some solace in the bottle of scotch. Like, it's not exactly what he says, but pretty much the attitude. Well,
yeah, that's the attitude. As Charlie kind of is defeated.
Yeah.
You know, he's just walking around with a steak. Since at any moment he feels like he could be attacked.
Yeah.
And Amy and Ed do find him with this stake, and they're worried about him.
Yeah.
They're like, you're going crazy. Like, your neighbor is not a vampire. Mm-hmm. You need to stop this whole act.
Yeah.
Do you need help? What's going on?
And he's like, yeah, actually, I do need some help because tonight I'm going to go kill Jerry. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's extreme. What's going on?
Listen. You know, I'm your girlfriend. Ed is your... And we want to make sure that you're not going to hurt anybody or yourself. Because Charlie's also turned his bedroom into, like, a garlic factory.
Yeah. Yeah, and crosses everywhere. Yeah. Like,
where'd he get all this stuff?
I don't know. He went to the thrift store.
Thrift store?
Yeah, thrift store.
In 1980?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah, they had stuff from the 50s to put in thrift stores.
Yeah. God, could you imagine going to a thrift store in the 1980s? It must be really weird. It must have had like a bunch of like stone wheels.
What?
And dinosaur bones and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, only 4 or 5 copies of Firestone Christmas. But on wax cylinder instead of record.
Oh, okay.
Amy and Ed, they're just like, hey, listen, we're going to go to Peter Vincent. We'll convince him to help you battle the demon of the night. Just don't do anything crazy until we get him. And Charlie's just like, I've already talked to him. He thinks I'm nuts. He's of no help. They're like, no. We'll talk to him. We'll convince him. Just chill. Don't get crazy. See you later, buddy. So they go to meet with Peter Vincent, and yeah, he's a washed up actor. You know, he's like, you see now his house, or his apartment rather, is full of so many cool horror.
Oh yeah,
like just all this cool horror memorabilia. It's just so much cool shit in there.
Yeah, it makes your mouth drool a little bit.
Yes,
you're like, just like, I wish I had all that stuff.
Yeah, like his place is a personal goal.
Yes,
and so yeah, Amy and Ed are just like, hey, listen, our buddy Charlie thinks his neighbor, and he's like, oh, that vampire kid? No. That kid needs help. He's sick. He needs to go to the hospital. Put him on medication because he's you know, cuckoo bananas. And they're like, listen, just humor him. We know vampires aren't real. We know that his neighbor is probably just the new guy in town. There's nothing weird going on there. Can you just do your thing, convince him that it's not? And he's like, well, I guess I could do the holy water trick. And I'll have the guy, he'll sip the holy water. it's not going to do anything. Everything will be cool. We'll knock it out. Mm-hmm. And there's like, perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Vincent gets a hold of Jerry and it's just like, listen, I hear you're having problems with this goofball kid next door. Blop, blop, blop. These are the things we should do. And he's like, I'm going to pull a cross on you. And Jerry's like, oh, no, no, no. I'm very serious about my religion. You can't use crosses in such a grotesque way. Okay. I'll respect your religion. Well, I'm going to have you sip some holy water so you're not a vampire. And goes, oh, no, no, no. You absolutely cannot use holy water. Again, disrespectful to my beliefs. And Peter Vince is just like, oh, well, it'll be tap water. It's not really holy water. And he's like, you promise? Yes, I promise. It's just going to be tap water. Okay, yeah, come on over. Crunch into apple.
Not suspicious at all.
Yeah, it's such a funny scene because it's like, oh shit, all the signs are there.
Uh-huh.
This guy actually might be a vampire. The gang goes over to Jerry's house for the grand reveal that Jerry is not a vampire. He's just a hot dude with maybe some anger issues.
Yeah, when Peter Vincent shows up, Charlie's kind of like, where's all your equipment? And he's like, oh, I just have the holy water.
Yeah, I've got all I need right here.
So as they get into the house, the gang kind of introduces himself to Jerry, and Jerry's weirdly enamored with Amy.
Yeah.
Oh, the 80s.
Yeah. You can't get through one of these movies without some old guy creeping on a girl.
And these are legit in high school kids,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, this is guaranteed, confirmed. Yeah, Peter Vincent goes through the whole rigmarole, gives him the, quote, holy water. Nothing happens. Charlie doesn't believe. He's just like, oh, the water isn't real. And Peter Vincent's just like, listen, stop embarrassing yourself. This man's very nice. He was kind enough to let us into his house and put up with the charade.
Yeah,
let's go home.
Jerry's playing it absolutely cool and collected. He's just like, see, I'm not a vampire. This is silly. Come on, Charlie. Can't we just be friends? And pretty much as soon as it's like this, Peter Vincent sees Jerry's lack of reflection.
Uh-oh. Vampires are real.
Vampires are very real.
Yeah. Peter's like, okay, well, everything's great. Good. Nice to meet you. Take care. Enjoy that apple. I got to get out of here. Kids, take care. Love you. You've been fantastic. I got a thing going on in another town I got to get to real fucking fast. And it's like, well, now, wait a minute. Why are you so freaked out? No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I got to listen. I'm old. It's late. I got to get to bed. And Charlie's just like, you saw something, didn't you? And he's just like, yes, I did. Neighbor's vampire. Good luck.
Yeah, it literally plays out exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. We do see that Jerry is very aware to the fact that Peter Vincent has caught on because he steps on a piece of mirror from Peter Vincent's cigarette case.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't think you can put anything past Jerry, to be honest. He's always seeing everything.
He is a clever little vampy boy. The kids, after all this nonsense, decide to walk Amy home. And as they're walking, Ed is arguing with Charlie about how vampires are not real. Just stop being so ridiculous. He ends up pretending that he has been bit by a vampire. And it's just, you know, it's more Ed being annoying. He walks off from the rest of the group. And as he's laughing to himself, he is then followed by Jerry. Whoa.
Well, okay. And this is the first time in the film that we actually have a really tense scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jerry following Ed through the alleyways trying to get him is kind of scary.
Yeah. And this is the thing, is Jerry, after he gets done with Ed, ends up going after Charlie and Amy. And it's like, about fucking time, man.
Yeah,
you've
right.
been dicking around with these kids. Like, you could have knocked this out first night.
I think he really needed a vampire mentor, you know?
He needs to watch the damn vampire movies. He needs to watch a Peter Vincent show because it's very clear that he doesn't even understand what being a vampire is all about. You know, magical powers, ultimate evil, and all that stuff is wasted on dum-dums and ding-dongs. This is why that we're not ever given any magical abilities,
that's right.
Because we would be too good at it.
Or
at the very least...
We'd see right through it.
Yeah, like, it'd be super easy. Oh, man. I'm just saying, any vampires listening, I'm here. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to fuck it up the first day.
Right.
Second day, maybe. The first day, mm-mm.
So there's a couple of things about this movie that I do want to bring up. And that's, of course, the vampire makeup. Classic.
Yeah.
Amazing. Doesn't look like any other vampires out there unless they've been inspired by this movie.
Yeah.
Second of all, the music in this film.
Yes.
There's a lot of really like that classic 80s sound mm-hmm. in here. But especially during this scene, I have to point out that there's a very particular song that mm-hmm. was made for the film by one of my favorite bands, Sparks.
Yes.
And so, yeah, as they're being chased, they end up going into this club and we get to hear Armies of the Night by Sparks over. And
then like four other songs.
Yeah, but it, like the Armies of the Night fits so well right here, I must say.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
All right. So speaking of this scene in the club.
This dance number.
So, yeah, this is an 80s movie trope that I don't feel any movie was safe from. Because it's not even like horror films alone. Like,
if you heard a bump and beat, you knew you were about to see a little dance number.
Yeah, and typically in a club some mm-hmm. way.
Because
this was I would say, almost akin to the... Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yes.
When they go to the dance club.
That's immediately what I think of, yes.
Yeah. It was just, I was waiting for Jim Carrey, Jeff Goldblum, and Damon Wayans to pop up.
Right.
While this dance number and stuff is going on and all that nonsense, Ed has gone to see Peter Vincent. However, Ed... Speaking of people that cool powers get wasted on.
Mm-hmm. Freaking Ed gets all this vampire power.
Yeah, he has shown up to harass Peter Vincent and thinks that he's the bee's knees of being a vampire. Just like how he's a ridiculous, waste of space, grating little dweeb as a regular human.
Oh no, another theme for this year is annoying kids, I guess.
They're always annoying. But yeah, like he's a worthless dweeb as a vampire.
I will say though, he's already doing better than Jerry.
I guess.
At least he's going out and trying to get people.
He's not just dancing. Peter Vincent ends up using a cross on Ed's forehead, which mm-hmm. gives him a good old-fashioned burn. Youch.
Yeah, I think that this scene, is like Ed with the cross on his head, mm-hmm. that is like burned onto all merchandise for this movie, it seems.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty terrifying looking.
It's weird how Ed is kind of like the marketable part of it.
They don't market Jerry very much.
No.
Most merchandise I see for this is either Ed or, a girl.
Yes, you're right. back to the club, more dancing ensues. Ultimately, all this comes down to is that Jerry ends up kidnapping Amy. Now Charlie's got to save the girl mm-hmm. and deal with a vampire. Mm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, vampire with all the riz.
Yeah.
Because he did use his riz to get Amy.
Oh, yeah, as a good vampire should do.
Yeah. So he knows one thing about being a vampire.
Charlie goes to Peter Vincent for help.
And
Peter Vincent is like, listen, I gotta get the fuck out of town. I'm done. Listen, I don't want none of this. And Charlie's just like, but you are the vampire hunter. He's like, that's a character. It's garbage. I'm not prepared for this. This isn't why I got into the business. Take care. Good day. Ta-ta now. just to kind of sprinkle in what's going on with Amy, she wakes up at Jerry's place and we have a very sensual biting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if only it wasn't on somebody underage.
Well, Amanda Bearse was probably like 23, so.
Yeah, well, she's playing a like 16-year-old, I think.
No more weird than Twilight. And he's guaranteed to be like 600 years old.
Look, Jerry obviously looks like he was like 35 when he got turned into a vampire last week.
He's like 46. Hard manual labor in the bottling factory.
Okay, whatever. Whatever age he looks.
He was in a Detroit steel mill.
That's different than Edward, who does look younger. I'm not defending Twilight, folks. I am not a Twilight fan, yeah. So.
Charlie arrives at Jerry's house for his big showdown, and Peter Vincent shows up with all of his vampire hunting gear, and he's practicing his lines because he's trying to get into the character that he is, in fact, brave and not shedding his pants with every step to the house. He keeps repeating to himself, "I am Peter Vincent, vampire killer." Maybe if he says enough, he'll believe it.
Well, unfortunately, you know, they do get in, yeah. But and, you know, they try to fight Jerry.
Oh.
But none of the efforts are working.
And Jerry needs to dial down the charisma.
Because
when he first shows up at the top of the stairs, he goes, "Welcome to Fright Night."
Ooh!
which I don't feel was used enough in promotional material.
No, it was not.
And
he said the name of the film.
Peter Vincent tries to use the cross, and he's just like, "You dipshit, you gotta believe in it for it to work."
I was gonna say, you said he was trying to believe in himself, and he didn't believe in himself enough. Apparently vampires also work on fairy rules where you have to believe in order to kill them, which I don't know where they got that mythology from, but
you know,
it works for this film, I guess.
That's right. Peter Vincent's just like, "Well, take care. I gotta go." Billy, the handyman, he slaps Charlie around. Ed has his showdown with Peter Vincent. Oh, I will, as much shit talking as mm-hmm. I give Ed and all that, I will say,
this part is,
it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And heartbreaking.
Very heartbreaking. He's very pitiful.
Yeah.
In
all the right ways.
It actually made me feel sorry for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Because he was just, ultimately, Ed is just a troubled kid that was given the powers of a god.
Mm-hmm.
And was acting on all of his pent up, you know, feelings about himself and all that, and was just like, and then got killed by a TV vampire hunter. effects for him transforming, or I guess reverse transforming, from being a wolf back into a human is really good.
Yeah. Very, not quite American Werewolf levels.
Yeah.
But
damn close.
Very close.
Yeah. The scene takes a long time, too.
It does. But as the audience, you're not going, "God, can we hurry up?"
Yeah.
You're going, "Oh my God, cool."
Yeah. "Oh my God, cool." You're also kind of shifting your seat a little bit because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And Peter Vincent is just, you know, you can see his heart breaking for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, first of all, I'm assuming Peter Vincent has never killed anybody, let alone a vampire.
Yeah.
And so,
especially not a vampire kid.
Yeah, he's never killed a child. So that's not so great. Back with Charlie, Jerry just throws him to Amy and goes, "There you go. Have fun." And it's revealed that Amy is, in fact, a vampire.
Eek.
Oh, no.
And so Amy is the girl that I was trying to allude to, of course. Yeah. Does it seem like she doesn't have quite as much of a grip on her vampire-ness as the rest? Like, she seems feral?
Yeah, I don't get, like, I don't know what's going on with that. Because of the fact that, absolutely. Now, do you think, okay, oh boy. Do you think that when you become a vampire, basically you're, like, the internal you mm-hmm. is what comes out more.
Maybe.
So with Jerry formerly being a schlubby mechanic in a made up town scenario, he became all suave and stuff because he had this, you know, this like this.
He had the riz inside.
Yeah, he had this inside him, and so he was able to unleash it. This is what he always wanted to be.
Hmm.
Ed had all this anger. He was a pathetic kid, mm-hmm. and so he released that. Amy
is a little feral, wanting to have the sexy sex.
She is repressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now her internal struggle has revealed itself as her version of being a vampire.
Interesting.
Because she is drastic, because she's got this big goofy mouth.
Yeah.
It's, in my opinion, one of the worst effects of the movie.
No, I think it still looks cool. It's just that it doesn't move and it's so different from the other vampires.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, she's different.
Yeah, I think that would be a good working theory, is that whatever you yeah. are, as far as your personality goes, is how being a vampire manifests.
I like that, especially because it actually makes sense with all the other context clues you gave.
Yeah.
So I like, thanks. That's good.
Hey, you know, every once in a while I have a smart thing to say. Peter Vincent returns to Jerry's house, this time feeling strong mm-hmm. because of the fact that he just killed a kid, so nothing can stop him.
Yeah.
Accidentally killed him, by the way. It's not like he actively, like, you know, did it. It was merely an accident. So maybe he can accidentally kill Jerry. things don't go well for Peter Vincent. Big surprise. Because, like, he comes across Charlie and we have to take care of old vampire pants. Mm-hmm. But that's when Billy shows up and just like, it's time. And it's like, well, I ain't worried about him because he ain't a vampire. And Peter Vincent pulls a gun on him. It's just like, stay back or I'll shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, accidentally kills him. Because mm-hmm. I don't think that Peter Vincent thought he was going to actually pull the trigger.
Oh, no. I think it was an accident that he pulled the trigger.
And so he's just like, oh, shit. I just shot a man in the face. Unfortunately, it turns out that Billy is a ghoul.
Yep. He tries it over and over and over again, and it is not working.
Yeah, like, how the hell did that work? Like, what's this ghoul thing going on?
It happens.
Yeah, it's just...
Renfield could have easily became a ghoul.
Yeah, I guess.
It happens with vampires.
Yeah, I just didn't expect a ghoul in this movie. but yeah, we got a ghoul in the house. They end up taking care of him after Charlie stabs him, and he melts into a pile of goo and bones. Cool. Amy is transforming even worse. Charlie and an old PV, as my notes will call him, they end up facing off with Jerry again. We get this big back and forth situation. A lot of action is going on during the climax of this film. Ultimately, after a lot of push and pull, some really tense moments with Jerry kind of stalking them outside of the house.
Yeah.
Like, while they're trying to figure out what to do next, he's like peeking through the windows and all that stuff.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Amy's kind of becoming a little less monster to try to be like, oh, Charlie. Oh,
yeah. It's like she's starting to kind of figure it out. Yeah, like what to do.
Yeah.
But I think it's also Jerry is doing like his vampire Jedi magic on her as well.
Maybe, yeah. No, I feel like it's more her trying to trick them into getting closer. And...
so she can...
yeah.
During this big, like, finishing moment, Peter Vincent is trying to find the coffin that Jerry is now hiding in. And
I like that he went from stalking to I'm in bed.
Yep.
But I think that time had passed. I think that they mentioned that it was almost.
Yeah, it's almost morning. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, he said that your time is up or whatever. And so he zooped off into the basement.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
While Peter Vincent is looking for Jerry, Amy and Charlie are wrestling around. Then it's just basically, it's like a boss fight in a video game where ultimately while you're trying to deal with the attacks from the boss, you're also needing to reveal the sunlight from the 2 million windows that are in this basement.
Yes.
This basement's made out of windows. I don't think it counts as a basement.
I have never seen a basement like that, and I would definitely not be going down there for a tornado warning, that's for sure.
Well, if you want to be shred to bits.
Right.
Like, this house is built on a basement, a foundation of glass.
I mean, the house is weird in general because, like,
oh, yeah.
it looks like a normal house outside, and then you go inside and it looks like a freaking mansion.
Yeah, it's like the Munsters house on the inside.
I was thinking that they had like two houses that they had to have filmed at.
Oh, absolutely, because it's bananas on the inside, and it, like, and yeah, it's like the Munsters house and the Tales from the Crypt mansion had a baby on
yeah,
the inside.
Yeah,
and so yeah, like in the basement that's made out of windows apparently. Yeah, they managed to pull all the drapes and stuff off the windows to let in the sun, the direct sunlight, which, mind you, the direct sunlight comes from every angle also.
Mm-hmm. This early in the morning, too.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, we're going to have direct beams of light from every direction. They defeat Jerry. He has this extremely long, explosive death of him, like, just this big vampire bat exploding into bits, and luckily everything has come up Milhouse, or mm-hmm. in this case everything has come up Peter Vincent, because now he has a show again.
Well, you I thought you were going to say everything came up Amy, because she's okay.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's not
yeah.
a vampire anymore.
Yeah,
everybody's... It's that kind of vampire rules where if the main vampire is killed, you're okay.
Everybody's cool. Yeah, so yeah, Amy's fine. Her and Charlie are making out. They're watching Fright Night. It's like having a friend in the room while you're kissing. It's kind of
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, a little weird.
Charlie looks out the window and sees a pair of eyes at the house across the way. Uh-oh. And he's just like, nah, that wasn't anything. Now, after everything he's gone through.
Uh-huh.
What's the harm in making sure?
Right. He's got the experience under his belt now.
Yeah, he's leveled up.
He might as well go and yeah. see, like, what's going on.
Exactly. But
why
he doesn't.
Not?
He goes back to kissing on Amy, and then the camera goes over back to the house. We see the glowing eyes again, and then we hear Ed laughing. Now, hold up.
Yeah, we definitely saw Ed dead.
First of all, we definitely saw Ed die. Second of all, what about Amy?
Yeah, why was Amy okay, but Ed's not?
We're going to have to watch the sequel, folks. Now, if this was not the Halloween A to Z, but a normal podcast Magoria episode, the next episode would be
yeah,
us
we would
watching
be.
The sequel. Because I've never seen the sequel.
Yeah, we got to watch the sequel sometime, because yeah. I've never seen it either. I guess my mom was like, the first one's perfect the way it is.
Well, also, Ed is so incredibly annoying. For him to be the main character of the next
right.
movie.
Right, we don't have the Rizzler
that's right.
being our main villain. I don't yeah. want to see it.
We don't even have the Jizzler. Like, but yeah, it's so I don't know. Like, I don't think anybody from the movie return? I don't know enough about, like I said, never seen a sequel.
Well, maybe.
So this is going to be an episode that's going to happen sometime in the future, or at the very least, we're going to have to watch a damn sequel just for our own curiosity's sake. but anywho, final verdict, even though I did bitch about this movie a lot this episode, more so than most of the movies we've talked about so far on the A to Z.
Well, I feel like the movies that we like a lot and that we've seen a lot.
We critique harder?
We usually do critique a little okay. harder so that we don't seem so biased, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do like pointing out flaws in movies that yeah. I like, so that it doesn't seem like, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So I feel that for the most part, we're pretty neutral.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're pretty neutral about stuff where absolutely, like, I will tear apart something I love
mm-hmm.
definitely harder than something I don't, because maybe it's because I'm defensive. I don't know. But anyway, contrary to all that, definitely worth checking out. If you've yeah. not seen this movie, I definitely recommend it.
As I've said, think probably three times already this episode, it's classic.
It's relatively safe for mm-hmm. a younger audience, mm-hmm. not kids,
yeah,
not children.
It doesn't have too much of the things that people that don't like horror
yeah.
usually complain about, why yeah. they don't like horror. Too much blood, too much this, blah blah blah. It doesn't have a lot of, I think anybody could watch this one,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's only got one quick thing of nudity.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have foul language in it. I mean, I think I cursed during this episode more than that movie
oh,
has.
Oh, yeah, for
foul
sure.
language. And then as far as, like, gore or harsh graphics go, with the exception of Ed's death, there's not.
No.
Like, there's not, no. Like, and I suppose the Billy turning into the goo, because that's a solid effect.
That is pretty nasty, but
And then Jerry the bat exploding. Like, that's pretty much as crazy as it gets.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if you can handle Gremlins, you can definitely handle this. Like, because I think Gremlins is way more graphic than this movie ever could be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I need to start doing that. Like, when people talk about how they can't handle gore and all that stuff, I need to ask them, well, have you seen Gremlins?
Yeah, do you like Gremlins?
Do you like Gremlins or even Gremlins 2? Because if you can handle those two movies, don't sell yourself short. Mm-hmm. I bet you can handle a lot more horror than you think you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because most of them don't get as gross as those movies do.
Plus, I mean, this one's got the bonus of the, like, legit hot vampire.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm just
get
saying.
Get out of town with,
like,
this guy.
Come on. Like, watch it for just him, if anything.
Jeez Louise. Okay. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast McGorry's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our G episode. G for The Gate.
Oh. Wow. Another fun movie that we know very well.
Yeah, so can't wait to talk about that. I don't see that one get talked about too much. As far as, like, other podcasts, other shows and stuff. Like, this doesn't get... The Gate doesn't get talked about that much.
Oh,
so,
well, cool.
I'm excited about that. let us know, of course, as usual, in the comments and stuff, how you feel about Fright Night. And if there's anything that we pointed out that you've never thought about before, or if we've completely, totally alienated you and pissed you off by how harsh I was about Ed.
Yeah, you're just, like, the biggest Ed fan alive.
Yeah, are, like, you an Ed head?
He's the best vampire of all time. How dare you? Psh.
Vampire dog is the best vampire of all time.
I'm Team Jerry.
And if you're not, then what's wrong with you?
I want a t-shirt like that.
Team Jerry.
Yeah, I want a Team Jerry.
I want three Jerrys howling at a moon.
Folks,
if somebody could whip that up for me and send it to us, eventually we'll have a P.O. box you can send us shit to. But if you make that, DM us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I'll give you an address you can send that to. Might not be ours. But, all right. Until next time. If you find yourself being a horror enthusiast, watching nightly a certain horror host, and I'm not just talking about old Joe Bob, and you notice something strange about your neighbors, maybe, just maybe, it's a pair of ghoulish gabbers that just like spooky things, and they're not actually vampires, but maybe there's something more sinister there. So keep your cross close. Your garlic in your window, holy water in a bottle, and most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast McGorry, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Hey.